Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we come back to the subject of the rich and how they should handle their money. Instructions to the rich that are given by Paul to Timothy, to the church at Ephesus in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But there are more things here that probably apply to all of us as Americans than perhaps we are willing to accept, and so we need to give careful attention to what the Bible tells us at this point. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, August 2, and I am so very, very grateful for those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this and other stations. Here are the verses. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So there are two don'ts, two things not to do that we covered in the broadcast last week. Don't be conceited. Don't trust your possessions. And then we come to two do's, two things that rich people are to do in regard to money, two things that all of those who have more than the simple, barest necessities of life are to do with the money that God has blessed us with. And here it is in verse 18, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. What are the two do's? Well, they are, number one, do good, and number two, be generous in your giving. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Now, it's possible, and maybe even likely, that those two injunctions are actually one, rolled up together. But let's first take the do good as if it is something separate from doing good with your money. In other words, to be rich in good works, as well as be rich in your giving. Be rich in giving of yourself as well as of your resources, giving of your time, giving of your labors, giving of your talents to be used to help others, to serve the church, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to make money so that you can give money. Is this not a real temptation, particularly of those who seem to be gifted in the area of business and making money, to say, well, that is my gift, therefore that is my job, therefore that is the way I serve the Lord, and in that manner to do that almost exclusive to everything else? Well, let me challenge your thinking a little bit. The Bible does tell us two things. It tells us, number one, that some people have a special gift of giving. That is a spiritual gift, and not everybody has it. But does that mean, because not everybody has that spiritual gift, does that mean that not all of God's children are to give at all? Is it only those with the spiritual gift of giving who are to give any money to the cause of Christ? Well, obviously not. The Bible instructions are very clear that all of God's children are to give. We may be the widow and may only be able to give the widow's mite, but we are all to give something. Those who have a lot, those who have a little, those who have the gift of giving, those who have other spiritual gifts, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered that there be no gatherings when I come," said Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. And that's the instruction all throughout, both the Old and the New Testament, that all of God's people are to engage in the worship of giving financial resources to God, not just those who have a special gift. Now, that being so, in other words, those who do not have the spiritual gift of giving are nevertheless supposed to give. Don't you understand that those who do have the spiritual gift of giving are nevertheless to do other things in serving God? Other things that don't pertain to making and giving money? We are all to serve the Lord in a variety of ways, but of course, in those areas in which we have a spiritual gift, we will excel and should excel. Those who have been given the gift of giving have undoubtedly, in some way or another, been given the gift of getting. That's pretty obvious. That's pretty simple. It may be a gift to make money, as in a businessman, or it may be that God has bestowed you with surplus, with plenty, through some other way, through a large inheritance or some other means of giving you money. You have been able to obtain a substantial resource, a substantial financial resource, or probably I should put that in the plural. You have been able to obtain substantial financial resources so that you can exercise your gift of giving. You can't give unless you have something to give, obviously. And if you're going to have the gift of giving, which means that you give in a greater than average way, you're going to have some mechanism for obtaining in a greater than average way. That just is so obvious, it hardly needs to be said. But that does need to be said, because there are people who resent others who have an ability to make money, or who have in some way inherited or received in some other fashion a larger than average amount of money. And there are people who resent that highly. Nobody should have more than anybody else. Nobody should make more than anybody else. Nobody should receive more than anybody else. Everybody ought to have the same. Obviously, that's not so. That's not the picture that God has painted us in His Word. I repeat, that is not the picture that God has painted for us in His Word. To believe that, to insist upon that, to act upon that, is to act contrary to the revealed will of God. It's not God's will that everybody have the same amount. Stop acting like it is. Stop supporting politics that are based upon that false premise. But back to my main point. So let's suppose you have been given the gift of giving, but involve yourself in serving the Lord in other ways as well. Do good in things that require your time and talents expended in different ways to help others. Your entire service for Christ is not wrapped up simply in your giving. It's easier. If you have resources, it's easier, for example, if a need comes along, I'll give something to help meet that need. Maybe what you need to do, however, is to personally go to that person who has the need and minister to them one-on-one. Now, that may involve giving as well, but instead of giving it to somebody else, you know, it's so real easy to say, let me give this to you to minister to so-and-so, and put the burden on somebody else. Pastors have that from time to time, and I don't know that it's always wrong, but think this through. Somebody has a burden for somebody in the church who has a need, and so they will come to the pastor and they will say, will you help that person? And here's $100, here's whatever to help them with. Maybe they just want you to pass it on to them. so that it's anonymous, so that it comes to them anonymously. That would seem to be a very good motive, but maybe they want you to do something else with that. Well, that's well and good, and that may be fine. It may be something that the pastor is delighted to do, is able to do, wants to do, and didn't have the resources to do, and now he does. Praise the Lord. But it may be that this is going to require a special amount of time and attention, that the pastor doesn't really have any more of that time than you do. You think you're too busy to do it. Well, maybe he's too busy to do it, but now you put an obligation upon him. He's going to have to do it or find somebody else to carry it out for him. Maybe what should have been done is for you to do it. You recognize that somebody needs food. Don't say, "Preacher, here's $100. Will you go to the store and buy them food and take them groceries?" Which is one way to do it, I say, if that's not a problem. But don't just assume that it's not. Don't just assume that that's the best way to do it. Don't just assume that the preacher's got more time for that than you do, because, of course, you're busy making money so that you've got the money to do this. How about you going to the grocery store and buying $100 or $200 worth of groceries, and you're taking it over to so-and-so, and you're ministering to them directly? Oh, you say, that wouldn't make it anonymous. Okay, I understand. But find ways to serve the Lord with your time and talents and personal touch directly. Don't say, "My gift is giving, so I'll give to the church, but don't expect me to help on a work day. Don't expect me to teach a Sunday school class. Don't expect me to serve as an usher. Don't expect me to serve on a committee. Don't expect me to serve in any other way. My time's too valuable. My time is all devoted to making money." I think you are very unbalanced and very unbiblical, very carnal in your approach. Let them do good. Not just the good of giving, but let them do good. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works. To be rich in other kinds of good works besides giving. Why not? Why shouldn't you give of your personal time to help somebody who is in need? Why shouldn't you give of your personal time to be involved in a church work day? If you are unwilling to do that because of the seemingly reasonable justification that you can accomplish more by spending that time working at your business and making money so that you can give more money so that the church will be well supplied. That's my area of service. Well, that may be your main area of service. Probably is a main area of service. Maybe your primary main area of service. But if you're unwilling to do any of the other things, you're going to be very aloof, very out of touch. In fact, it's going to contribute to this haughtiness that you're warned about in verse 17. Not to be haughty. Sounds like you're being a bit haughty here. Think you're better than other people. Too good to get down there and do some of these menial things. So don't do that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.